We've been studying some of Jesus' parables about the kingdom of heaven. He was the master teacher. And he used parables to teach, to portray divine truth. He used ordinary, everyday objects that everybody was familiar with to teach about heavenly things, especially the kingdom of heaven. These stories stuck with the people, and they remembered them. There were two kinds of people then, just like there are two kinds of people today. Those with open hearts who were willing to receive the truth, they could understand the parables. But the people that had closed minds and closed hearts, they weren't concerned with spiritual matters, so they didn't understand the parables. But to understand these parables about the kingdom, we need to understand what a kingdom is. There are kings, kingdoms in our world today, just like there have been for centuries. And there's four basic essentials to any kingdom. Number one, there has to be a ruler. Number two, there has to be laws. Number three, there has to be subjects or citizens of the kingdom. And number four, there has to be a territory for the kingdom. And every citizen of that kingdom, if they live within the territory, has to be under the rule of that king, because the king has all authority. In other words, his word is final. The Bible says that Christ is the head of the kingdom, the church. In Colossians chapter 1, we read, when Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, he tells them in Colossians chapter 1, this about the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul writes by inspiration, he, talking about the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Then going down to verse 18, and He, referring to Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Jesus is the head of His kingdom, the church. It's not a physical kingdom. It's not an earthly one. It's a spiritual kingdom. And it is in existence now. It's in existence right now. And these two parables that we're going to look at today, even though there's only three verses, teach how priceless it is. And that's the theme of both of these parables. The kingdom is priceless. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. And we'll read through verse 46. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Hidden treasure. You know, there's TV shows about people looking for hidden treasure. Now, that's not a new concept. Most of us have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Remember, those were the scrolls that were found back in the early 40s. In the community called Qumran. Well, one of those scrolls that was found was called the Copper Scroll. And you know what the Copper Scroll talks about? Hidden treasure. Hidden treasure. And it has on the Copper Scroll a list of treasure that was hidden. It's mainly gold and silver. And on that Copper Scroll, it says where it was hidden. Some of it was hidden in cisterns, some of it was hidden in fields, some of it was hidden in pots. And it says right there where to find the treasure. It was very common in the first century especially for people to hide their valuables in the ground, in fields. You know, they didn't have banks or safes or anything like that that we would, so they would hide them so that only they would know where the treasure was hidden. Well, that's the background of this first parable. He says the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's like treasure hidden in a field. And this man found, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. This man seemingly found it by accident. Found it by accident. There's been a couple of occurrences that I know in modern times, especially in the last 100 years, where people have found unbelievable treasure. And they were just out in the field. Some were plowing. One took place in England, and the guy was out digging up the ground, the field that he had, and he found unbelievable treasure. Worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. He had no idea it was there. None, not a clue. He found it by accident. And here Jesus says, sometimes that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Treasure that's hidden. And he says, this treasure has a heavenly nature to it. Some treasure does. If we go back a few pages to Matthew chapter 6, notice what Jesus says in verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Here, and he says, why? Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure of heavenly nature. Some people end up finding the kingdom without starting to find it. There are people in the Bible we read about who didn't know, or well, they weren't seeking the kingdom at all. Remember Nathanael? Let's read John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 43. John chapter 1, verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Nathanael was not looking for Christ, was not looking for the kingdom. But Philip had found the king and went to tell him. Probably the most famous person that was not looking for the kingdom but found it was Paul. We read about his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. He wasn't looking for Christ. He wasn't looking for the kingdom. He had no idea what was going to happen to him that day. But he encountered the risen Savior on that road. He found him, but he wasn't looking. So sometimes people find the kingdom when they weren't even starting out to find it. When Paul wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 10, notice what he wrote to them in verse 20. Romans chapter 10, verse 20. Romans chapter 10, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. It's talking about Christ. Christ was found by those who did not seek him. Maybe they were told by somebody. Something happened in their life. They end up finding Christ. And notice in the parable, when the man found this treasure, what happened? He was filled with joy. He was filled with joy. When people really understand how valuable the kingdom is, they want it more than anything in the world. This is what they want. They have found it, and they're ecstatic. It wasn't all that many years ago, a guy was at I don't even know what you call them, but where people, rock collectors and that type of people get together, and he had saw this rock. And it just looked like an ugly old rock. It had some agate on the outside of it, so it didn't look very valuable. And so he ended up buying it for like $10. But he knew what it was. And when he got it home, when he got the agate off of it, it was an unbelievable sapphire worth millions of dollars. Didn't happen all that many years ago. He saw its value. Other people didn't. Most people today do not see the value of the kingdom. This guy, when he found it, was ecstatic because he saw how valuable it was. But notice the man still had some personal responsibility. He went and bought that field that had the treasure in it. Personal responsibility. But he saw how valuable it was. Well then, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now here the merchant was actually seeking. He was looking for something valuable. Many in God's words were seekers. Remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to Jesus by night? He was seeking. The eunuch, Acts chapter 8, he was seeking. Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, seeking. So here are individuals who are actually seeking something greater. And there's a reward for seeking. Still talking about Jesus' words, notice Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. There's a reward for seeking. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. One of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They weren't hungering and thirsting for wealth, earthly wealth. They were hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And they were going to be filled. The kingdom is present. And it's waiting for people to recognize how valuable it is. No doubt Jesus chose the pearl because of how valuable it was. In Old Testament times, in the first century, the pearl was the most valuable of any precious stones. You go back and read history of that time, there was nothing more valuable, there was no more precious stone more valuable than pearls. They were the most valuable. And pearls are unique because all the other precious stones come from something that's dead, but not a pearl. A pearl comes from something that's alive. And of course, the kingdom comes from something alive, and that's who we call Jesus. The kingdom of heaven comes from Him. The kingdom is truly unique. This individual found a pearl of great price. He found one that was unique. There was nothing else like this pearl. It was unique. There is only one kingdom of heaven. There is only one church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, my kingdom. There is nothing like it. There is nothing like it in the world. It is unique. It is that pearl of great price. And it belongs to Christ. If you think about all the precious stones, the sapphires, the diamonds, the rubies, they all are to be improved by man. In other words, they have to be taken, they have to be cut, and all the facets put on them. Not pearls. If men try to improve on a pearl, what happens to it? It loses its value. men cannot improve upon the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom, the one that Jesus built, that he is head over, is perfect. And it's when men try to, quote, improve upon it, that it loses value. And people have been doing that since the first century. But it is flawless. It's flawless. Both of these parables stress how important it is to find the kingdom. It is valuable. In both of these parables, notice, both men went and sold everything they had. They gave up everything for the kingdom. There was nothing too valuable for them to sacrifice. It didn't make any difference. And today there is absolutely no sacrifice too high or too great for the kingdom. People throughout the years have had to give up many, many things for the kingdom. Money, possessions, remember the rich young ruler? It was too much. He had too much. He didn't understand how valuable the kingdom was. Or he would have gave up everything. Giving up time. You may have to give up a lot of time for the kingdom. You may have to give up friends for the kingdom. Because you have the wrong kind of friends. You may have to give up family for the kingdom. Many people have had to do that. Jesus said you might have to do that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. You might have to give up fathers, mothers, daughters, brothers, spouses. Yes, you may have to give up a spouse for the kingdom. Why? Because nothing is as valuable as the kingdom. And maybe your life. Maybe your life. So what is the kingdom worth to you? What are you willing to give up? What have you sacrificed for Christ and His church? There are great blessings that come to those in the kingdom. Forgiveness, peace, hope. And those things are only found in the kingdom. The church that Jesus built. The one that Jesus told Nicodemus he could enter by being born of water and the Spirit. John chapter 3. Our relationship with the Heavenly Father is the most important part of our life. Because at the end of our life, the most important thing is going to be, what is my relationship to God? Everything else is trivial compared to that. What is your relationship? Have you been born of water and the Spirit? Have you, like those on Pentecost, repented and been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you continued to ask God to forgive you as you confess your wrongs? Those are the important questions of life. How valuable is the kingdom to you? Think about that, and if you need to respond, we encourage you to do that while we stand and sing this song.